We Talk Podcast presents...
William Marvith, not with the one, the only, the ultimate babyface, Mr. Joel Johnson.
TNA's our lead story, Josh.
So, we apologize for those that have been like, where's One Fall at? Well, One Fall has been waiting and waiting,
and eating.
Twitter refreshing, and Reddit refreshing, and WWE website refreshing, and TNA website refreshing. Listening to interviews by Bill DeCorrigan, refreshing. And we're recording about 9:30 Mountain Time, and we still don't know what the fuck is going on.
Well, here's what we do.
So, I have more of the story than Joel does, because Joel's been very busy. So, I'm going to catch everybody up to what we have at this very moment right now. So, we knew coming into this week, we briefly talked about it last week, that TNA had to sell soon. It kind of broke on Sunday that soon was Bound for Glory soon.
Yeah.
So, we were like, oh, okay, here we go again. The wild ride of TNA having to go for sale. Joel and I, when we first heard this, Joel, we just kind of like, well, Billy Corgan's going to buy it, and we didn't even put any second thought to it.
No, I think, I honestly thought, well, it's TNA, it's that horror movie, but it's a horror movie.
It's a cockroach.
Movie. Yeah, it just keeps coming back, and you think, okay, well, it's just going to keep coming back. And sure enough, that might not be the case.
No, so yeah, we thought it was just kind of going to do what it always does. It survives, like Joel said, it's like a horror movie, it's like a bad horror villain. It keeps coming back, no matter if you burn it with fire, stab it in the head, whatever, it keeps on coming back. So... then the WWE got involved in it. Then the WWE pulled out. Then the WWE went back into it. Then they pulled out again. Like a pubescent teenager with its girlfriend.
I'm just going to make that joke too, so spot on to you.
Yeah, thank you. So, as of today, we're going to go to today. And if we backtrack with any comments about anybody, we'll go to that. But as of today, things got a little bit more interesting. So... we found out today that WWE was back interested. John Gaborak, who's a former WWE employee, was the one that brokered the deal because, you know, he said the Titanic was going down. Well, not the Titanic. WWE's probably the Titanic, right?
Yeah.
Except, so he saw the lifeboat was going down, and he's like, I'm going to jump into the bigger ship. So he called his buddy Bucky, a.k.a. Kevin Dunn, and said, hey, you guys should buy this. You should buy the tape library. So, originally, the broker deal was WWE was cool buying the library. They had lowballed them, and they said, we'll buy the library, we'll buy the company, but no compete clause. You and Dixie and Billy, you could never start a wrestling company ever again. Didn't like that. So, WWE backed out again. Coming back in today, they were back in the fold of things. See where it's going. Also, it should be interesting to know that they were going to continue to give them a low offer because Vince believes it can go bankrupt and then he can just swoop in and do what he did with ECW. So, about 5 hours ago, Dixie Carter finally let out some tweets, and into this so far, Joel, Dixie's kind of been blamed for everything. Let's talk about that really quickly.
Yeah, she seems to be at the... well, I mean, I think she's at to blame for this, but we've also heard that Bischoff and Hogan are also kind of getting the fingers point for their
previous... we'll get to the Bischoff and Hogan stuff. We will get there, because that's a whole other story. But
right now, Dixie's taking a lot of heat, and rightfully so. She did take a company that could have easily been on a higher trajectory and cut its wings out from under it, made poor choices, and tried to really... and you've said this best so many times. It's trying to be WWE light. It was never trying to be its own thing. And Dixie kept trying to be the female version of Vince McMahon. And I just don't know if she had the the business sense for it.
No. I would argue, before we get to more action today, from that 2007-2008 period, TNA was arguably better television than WWE was.
Yeah, that was... I've heard it described that time frame as the dark John Cena age.
Yeah.
But I didn't mind it, WWE-wise.
That's when they had the Rosie O'Donnell and Donald Trump angle with the Billy the Whale or cake angle, and that's when the most vocal the TNA chants had ever been.
Yeah.
Was that segment. It was a dark day in that segment. Yeah, we face forward to now, and Dixie's been blamed for a lot of poor management. And by the way, one last thing. As of today, Joel, Court Bauer has reported that TNA was offering top past WWE talent big money.
How?
I don't know. I don't get it. This is the team. They don't have a buyer, and they are in massive financial debt. So we'll get to that in a bit. So the tweet, Dixie Carter sent out 2 tweets 5 hours ago saying, I don't make a habit to reply to speculation, but I'll say if you're close to Orlando Sunday or Saturday, she should be going Saturday or Sunday, but, you know, whenever it's Dixie Carter, of course, she got dates backwards. You do not want to miss these tapings. So confirming that the tapings are on there. Before we get to the next tweet, those tapings would be from Monday till Saturday, which would be about 2 a day, which would take them to the end of 2016, Joel. So we'll get to that in a second. And she came back with, going to be an incredible live Bound for Glory on Sunday and big things planned for Impact Wrestling shows on POP television. So, a lot to break down here because 48 hours ago, we thought this company was bankrupt and couldn't afford shows. So, the thinking going into this, Joel, is that obviously they found themselves a buyer.
Yeah.
Now, if Billy Corgan had bought the show, would they not just say it, or is this TNA wanting to get as many people to watch Bound for Glory as possible?
I think this might be a try to get as many people to watch Bound for Glory as possible. I think they've thrown, like, you don't know for sure, and I'm kind of out of the research loop.
Yeah.
I'm thinking that they would have announced if they had a buyer, because then it would be like, see, we're still alive. That's the TNA way of doing things.
Yes.
So this is very kind of hush-hush weird, so...
Like, if they just had Bound for Glory, you'd be like, oh, okay, cool, Bound for Glory. We don't know anything about the tapings. But to confirm the tapings, too, that makes it a lot more interesting.
It makes me think that someone did buy it. And it is that grave in the hand popping out. We're still alive!
So, then... So... Remember about 2 years ago, there was that guy in Reddit, Dolphin, and a various amount of numbers next to his name, Joel?
Yeah.
Well, we may have another one of that. It's a Twitter account, and I'm not going to give this guy any credit of being legit, but this is the guy that had started the rumor train on Twitter and Reddit.
Yeah.
And again, we're not saying this is a verified thing. This is just kind of what started the ball rolling, and everyone has picked this up. But before I read this, I should note that we're not confirming it. That Dave Meltzer's not confirmed it. Mike Johnson, Jason Powell, Bleacher Report, Forbes, NoDQ, WrestleZone. None of the major sites, including us here at One Fall, are confirming this. But this tweet sent Twitter snowballing, taking it as legit. Before I read this tweet, this guy had apparently predicted Cody Rhodes and Damian Sandow going to TNA before it had ever happened. So he claims that he has a major inside source inside of TNA.
Yeah.
So, again, when I read this tweet, let's say it with a grain of salt. But, he said, see what he said. I'm just going to get the tweet up. I think he deleted it.
Wow.
He did. Oh, no, here we go. So, in the biggest tweet in the history of my Twitter experience, I am reporting that Dixie Carter has officially sold TNA Wrestling to WWE. And he went on to say, unless my source is wrong, which they really are, TNA and WWE have a deal in place. Vince offered the most money, which made him the logical choice.
when asked if Bound for Glory is still going, he's like, that's what I'm hearing, thinking it's part of the agreement of TNA being sold to WWE was that it would still air the Bound for Glory pay-per-view. Hearing an official announcement of the sale of TNA won't be said until some point during the Bound for Glory pay-per-view.
Triple H comes out.
Well, Triple H seems like the most logical thing because he's already in Florida, and specifically in Orlando. Full Sail's not too far from Orlando.
Yeah.
Okay, so Joel, again, we're not going to... This is really the only source that has said it. Before we get it, we also have one more thing from Dave Meltzer that he had wrote a piece about 2 hours ago about the entire situation. Now, keep in mind, too, this was after this guy's tweet. So I am wondering, though, if Meltzer has known about the sale, but, you know, much like Adrian Wojnarowski, the NBA major breaking news for sources, sometimes these people with their sources say, can you please keep it quiet until this point?
Yeah.
So maybe they, like, Meltzer knows stuff. Like, he knew Del Rio was a surprise, and he knew some of the Royal Rumble people. So sometimes, like, can you keep it quiet because we want it to be a surprise? And Meltzer's very good at letting people live out that surprise.
Oh, yeah.
So as for what Meltzer had said, this was said about 3 hours ago by Dave Meltzer. So about 2 hours after the Dixie tweet, and around the same time that that guy has sent the tweet. So, Meltzer, as far as TNA. Regarding TNA, this is what we know. The talent has been told to come to Orlando, and then everything is on. Nobody knows who is paying for it. Nothing has been announced regarding a sale. Nobody has officially said the shows are on, particularly Bound for Glory. But talent is under the impression that the shows are on. Drew Galloway is off the show Sunday. No word who will face Aaron Rex, which is, it's now Eddie Edwards. Stories regarding flights being canceled to Bound for Glory, as far as we can tell, are now untrue. Everyone we're aware of who would have been booked on the show is still booked on the show, and the show will go on as far as we are concerned. Before we go, I'm just going to do a quick, before we go and dissect everything, Joel, because we've been kind of gather as much we wanted. We saved this. Normally we record it on Thursday, release it on Friday for our fans, but we try to save this as long as possible because we wanted to make sure that we had the closest breaking news that we could. So still nothing is confirmed. We're late in the night. It's 9:43 Mountain Time, so about 1:45 Eastern Time. So I'm assuming, much like that tweet said, we're not going to get anything to Bound for Glory. So, if something does break on Bound for Glory, we will not be reviewing the pay-per-view. We will talk about the sale of TNA in a separate Sunday podcast.
Yeah. The one thing that... There's another side to this that I definitely want to bring up.
Yeah, so now we can just dissect everything, Joel. That's all the research that we have going forward.
Okay. My biggest thing for you, a question I ask, what is it with WWE and you're able to search TNA?
Oh, so that I've also figured out. So, a few years ago, and by the way, you can also search Ring of Honor, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla as well.
Oh, wow.
So, anyways, the thing with that is that a few years ago, the website tried to be selling to Smarks. They had all the dirt sheets, and if you read some of the stories on there, it's from 2009. Nothing is newer. You look at the Ring of Honor story, the roster has Kevin Steen, Tyler Black, Daniel Bryan, Nigel McGuinness.
Wow.
So that's during a time when WWE was trying to contend with the dirt sheets and put stuff up on there. So that, what we thought was kind of exciting and interesting, really turns out to be nothing.
Nah.
Yeah.
So, really, I think they're still alive. I don't think WWE bought them. I think that somehow, some way, they are still alive, and it's something we're going to have to live with.
The interesting thing to me is, I can understand if WWE bought it and let them do Bound for Glory, much like they let WCW do the last Nitro.
I, however, would not understand how they would let them do capings. Unless Dixie's a liar, which isn't far-fetched.
No.
So, it did, don't you agree on that, though? Like, you can understand WWE letting them do Bound for Glory.
Yeah. Like, apparently there is a website called Fightful, and they had reported saying that a major name backstage in TNA told Fightful that they had been told that when the time came for a sale, a lot of false info would come out in an attempt to undermine Corgan's attempt to buy TNA. Most everyone in the company is hoping Corgan manages to get ownership.
Mm.
So, I don't know, man. I think that I think TNA still...
Yeah, so as far as we know, the internet and Twitter will make you believe that WWE bought it.
Yeah.
We have no confirmation of that, and Billy Corgan has stayed pretty quiet to this evening.
Yeah. So and either he's licking his wounds, or he is a victor that's waiting to reveal that he won.
And the thing is, WWE, if they didn't buy it, they're not going to go on their Twitter and say, we didn't buy it.
Yeah.
So, TNA is in the highest profile they have been in years.
Oh, yeah.
There's going to be more eyes on Bound for Glory than there's ever been before. Again. Oh, go ahead, Joel.
Oh, yeah. Like, no. I totally agree. I think that this is definitely the biggest they've ever been. But here's the other thing. What happens when all this dies down and TNA goes back to being just TNA?
Well, that's the thing. So if Hunter doesn't come out, then... Because here's the thing. If let's say that the tapings are going on, because one of the speculations has been that WWE bought it and that NXT would be moved to Pop and they would have another station to run a major TV show on.
But wouldn't that hearken their deal with USA?
No, NXT is not on USA.
Well, no. Oh, so it wouldn't, because NXT is their own little thing.
NXT is their own thing, so they can have replays of the network, and they have a station for NXT.
That's possible, but I say very unlikely. I think that...
No, I agree. I'm just going with all the scenarios that are being run down.
Yeah.
Because it's interesting, because if WWE didn't buy it, you'd think they'd be like, no, we didn't buy it, because they know... If I'm Triple H on Vince McMahon, you know all these extra eyes are going to be on Bound for Glory. But like you said, does that really matter? Because it's just in that moment, and then it kind of goes back to normal with the inside down.
Yeah. This, I think that a lot of this is just a ploy by Dixie and Corgan to get a little bit of buzz, and then just kind of leave it be, and then they'll go back to their world, and that'll be the end of it.
Yeah, so we'll see. Like, if the interesting thing to me is, if WWE did buy it, why are there tapings? And that's kind of the only thing that's making me think they didn't buy it.
Yeah, and that's a big thing for me too. I really think they
unless Dixie's lying, which is entirely possible.
It is. It totally is. But I definitely think that we. We're living in a world where, whatchamacallit, Dixie gets to live another day.
It's very interesting, too, because, okay, let's say Billy Corgan does buy this. What is there to gain? They have no video game licensing. They don't do house shows. They do 2 pay-per-views a year. Merch sales aren't that great. Where's your income coming from, Joel?
I don't know. Where is
the profitability of this company?
Well, maybe that's something that Corgan wants to turn around, but I mean, you look at, you compare it to this week in WWE. Let's just put this WWE in a microscope. We're not going to talk about it a lot, but might as well kind of put it there. You look at this WWE, every show, Raw, SmackDown, NXT, Cruiserweight Classic, everything has a certain markability about it. You can market to an audience, you have an audience, you have guys that people want to see. TNA does not have that. They have certain guys that are, yes, that will goose the ratings a little bit, and you know, hey, oh.
They have 2 people that the people will turn to the ratings to see. Let's be honest. All respect to Bobby Lashley, Michael Bennett, and all those guys, the Hardys are the only people that people are turning in for right now.
Yeah. So I think that there's a lot with this TNA roster that leaves. It's a nice little promotion. ROH is better than TNA.
ROH is much better. ROH is the second biggest in North America. In the world, it's number three.
Yeah, New Japan's number one.
Yeah, one, two, between, no, yeah.
And TNA, unless, and they're always going to be in a hole. They put themselves financially in a bad spot. And I think they're always going to financially be in a bad spot. I don't think they can ever really recover unless they discover the next Austin or Rock, which...
Which I don't think they will, because the way the WWE is scouting right now, with William Regal there, you're never going to be able to sway people, right? You're going to get leftovers, and you'll get lucky, because you'll get an EC3. Derek Bateman didn't work out with the company, so you get him. You get Aaron Rex, who I've heard is not really impressing people. You get Drew McIntyre, who's been fine. Bobby Lashley, nice, but you're not getting that next breakup star like a Noam Dar, for example. What?
Pro Wrestling Sheet has reported that WWE producer and former Cruiserweight champion Jamie Gibson Noble has been stabbed multiple times following a road rage.
I was going to get to that. I thought you were going to say he died.
Well, no, but they say that he's listed in critical condition.
Yeah, I was going to get to that. We'll get to that.
I just saw that. I'm getting my wrestling updates now.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's kind of like, holy crap, someone got stabbed.
I know, normally we should lead off with that, but this has just been such an overwhelming story right now, and luckily Jamie's in good condition. We will get to Jamie for sure.
Yeah.
But I agree with you. It's, where's the profitability for this, and where's the income coming, right? Because even with WWE, that video game is going to do really good money for them.
Yeah.
And Jericho always says, like, the video game is one of the best sources of income for me and for the company.
Yeah.
And TNA doesn't have that. And there's no house shows, Joel. They don't do house shows anymore.
Yeah.
So Matt Hardy can go and do House of Hardcore and do this show and that show and then do TNA. He's fine. The talent is doing okay. The company itself, though, it's like, how long do you want to stay above water?
Yeah. And that's one thing is, how much longer is it acceptable to just keep your head above water? How much longer before you gotta sit there and be like, well, maybe I want something more?
And look, Billy Corgan has worked really hard to be one of the arguably greatest alternative bands of all time. Does he really want to throw his money around? And you said, like, well, maybe he could turn it around. But what is it to turn around? Like, even if he's like, well, I'll change the name. That's really, I don't know what that's going to do. The name TNA is toxic, but I just don't think in this day and age, with that, how everything works, and like you said, unless you get a Rock or Austin, which won't happen because you have the scouts out there, you know, of William Regal, Triple H, and the others that are going to swoop up everybody, and you're not going to get the Johnny Garganos of the world, because if the two talent agents come to you, let's say John Kevork is one of them, or who else works for Al Snow? Let's say John Kevork and Al Snow come to you, but then you have William Regal and Hunter, and one saying, come to TNA, and the other saying, come to WWE. Let's be honest, it's like being an NBA player, a basketball player, you're going to go play in the NBA. You're not going to go to some D-League team in Europe. Maybe the New York team will even pay you more, but it's the NBA, and this is Johnny Gargano, for example. Oh, it's WWE. I guess it could be in the X Division in TNA, but I'd rather be here. Even AJ Styles, who is the heart and soul of that company, his goal was, he was the number one, he's the number one all-time guy from TNA.
Oh, yeah.
But he's always said he wasn't content unless he was in the WWE. And same with Samoa Joe. And same with Bobby Roode. These are guys that were the heads of this company, but it didn't mean anything to them because they weren't in the Fed. And you hear stories from guys like Kurt Angle and Booker T saying, like, no, TNA was great and it was fun and I got to wrestle, but I go to the airport and people are like, oh, do you still wrestle anymore?
Yeah.
And that was at the height of the powers. So, cool, TNA comes back and it's a fun little company. That's fantastic. But the sustainability in the income is not coming anywhere.
Yeah. it's really lacking. And now you kind of sit there and be like, oh, you always want to get, it's like this. And I go back to Breaking Bad, that episode of Ozymandias. What episode do you want to direct, Josh? Do you want to direct Ozymandias, one of the greatest episodes of all time? Or do you want to watch an episode? All of Breaking Bad's amazing episodes. But do you want to direct the greatest episode of all time, or do you want to direct? Oh, it was a good episode, but to be connected to something that you consider great always outweighs the, oh well, I did this little thing here. So it's just like there was a competition to direct that final one of those episodes of Breaking Bad. And one of the things was, hey, I'm not giving this up. I get to fuck the prom queen. So it's the same thing. You join WWE, you get with the prom queen. If you join anything else, sure, you're going to get to wrestle and you're going to get to do stuff, but it's not WWE.
Yeah, and, you know, everyone always goes there and they love their experience at first, but even Mick Foley, you know, when he had his book out, one of his last books, he's like, it sucked because I had this book and I couldn't get on the Daily Show and I couldn't promote my book because no one cared. And that was almost at the pinnacle of TNA. And look, if they come back this week and Bound for Glory is Billy Corgan ran, and there is no Triple H coming out, all eyes will be on it. We'll hear, oh, Triple H didn't come out, going back to Billy Corgan, and then it'll just go back to business as usual.
Yeah.
But this is the most TNA will have eyes on it since that 2007, 2008 period.
Yeah.
That will never and probably
it have probably won't even there. Have that number, Josh, because a bunch
no,
of people
No, because there's what? Twitter. Because there's Twitter. And look, you and I, what match do you care about on here, Joel?
Yeah, what matches are there?
I can tell you actually. So we have the Decay one.
Yeah.
And I care about that, but there's not much else I care about on this show as far as their card. Like they have Eddie Edwards versus Damian Sandow. Don't care about that.
Yeah.
Do you care about that at all?
No.
We have Maria versus Gail Kim. I mean, that should be fun, but I'm not going out of my way to watch it.
Yeah, no, neither am I. Nothing on TNA makes me go like, oh, God, I got... Like, the Young Bucks were in a ladder match tonight. I'd much rather go watch the Bucks in a ladder match competing for the ROH Tag Team titles. That's just what I'd much rather do.
You have Moose versus Michael Bennett. And you have EC3 versus Bobby Lashley for the TNA Championship. So, again, here's the thing for me, too. Like, Westworld premieres this week. And there's NFL football. Next week, I have to watch No Mercy, which goes, again, by the way, Joel, versus the second presidential debate. WWE cannot catch a break with that. But I'd rather have this week, because I know next week, we have to review the No Mercy pay-per-view, which I'm way more excited for.
Oh, yeah.
Way better matches on there. And I'll take this week to take a week off of watching wrestling, to watch Westworld, watch a football game, and wait till the next week. All I really care about is if the announcement is for WWE, but, you know, we have this thing called social media, and I'll find out through there.
Oh, yeah. Like, I already know what happened in the Bucks match because of social media. So I'm going to know what's going to happen in TNA as it happens because of Twitter.
Yeah. So we'll see. It's been a crazy week. I'm not going to lie. I've heard a lot of people say, like, this is my final argument, and then we'll move on, Joel, and they'll let you have your final argument on it.
Are we sending them to court?
Yeah.
These are closing...
I guess so. Closing arguments on it. TNA has been around for so long, and there was a period I really liked it, but we've been doing this podcast for 2 years, and I'm just so, and not even just the podcast, I'm just so sick of talking to Joel and being like, TNA may be sold, and then we run down the list of wrestlers, which we're not doing on this, because we're done with that. The last time I got sold, Joel said we're not running down the list of wrestlers on the podcast that we want to see in WWE. We're not doing that. And to be honest, there's only three they would want anyways, Lashley and the Hardys.
It was really easy to do that list this time around.
Maybe Michael Bennett. But
yeah.
I but I'm sick of talking about it. I'm sick of saying, oh, they're on their last lifeline. Just go. It really is just time to take the axe, put it in the back, and this time, TNA, don't remove it.
Yeah.
Joel?
Here's the thing. TNA has lived a long life, and the tape library would be fantastic, because you suddenly have a lot more stuff that you can add to that that will draw people in.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, who cares anymore? I don't care. I don't. Like, why? Why is this thing still real? Like, I thought it was done. Like, no.
And let's be honest, for all you TNA fans, like, well, we have the Hardys. The Hardys contracts are up in February, and no matter what they say, they're leaving TNA to go to the WWE for one more run. No matter what they say, they're doing that.
Yeah.
And by the sounds of it, Bobby Lashley wants back as well.
Yeah.
So enjoy those guys right now, but ultimately, if they do stay in TNA, when their contracts run out, they'll come back.
Yeah. Yeah. Poor Cody.
Yeah, that would be one of the funnier things to me if that does happen. If he walks backstage and he's like, doo-doo-doo-doo, it's like, oh shit, there's Hunter.
And they're like, hey, Hunter, we're cool, right?
If Hunter does come out, I will, or Vince, I need to find footage of him, of them coming out onto a TNA broadcast.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
To me, the best storyline would be a Daniel Bryan or a Mick Foley coming out announcing they bought it.
Oh, God.
Because then you can add to the brands, right?
Yeah.
And then you can continue with the brand split idea of it. Or Triple H doing it, and then you can kind of start them as all NXT guys and lead that kind of invasion angle.
Yeah.
That's how I would personally book it. I'd probably go Hunter, now that I think about it. Get Hunter, and then he has those guys as part of an invasion angle. Maybe at Survivor Series, possibly. Leading to Survivor Series, and you get, like, Team NXT TNA versus Team WWE.
Yeah.
That's, I think, the best way you could book it.
Yeah. Yeah, that might be. But at the end of the day, I just want it dead. Just kill it. Just put it out of its misery. No more.
So, we will make sure you follow us on StickBoyYYC, Fresh Take, the One Fall Podcast Facebook page, and the One Fall Podcast Instagram, and we will keep you with updates that are confirmed. We're not going to talk about Twitter accounts reporting stuff that aren't verified. If this Twitter account was verified, Joel, I think a lot more people will be like, oh, damn.
Yeah.
But it's not verified, and that's great that you've got Cody Rhodes and Damian Sandow, right? But here's the thing. A lot of people already knew those were happening. They were kind of foregone conclusions.
Yeah.
So
there's nothing.
I mean, Once Sandow got cut, we're like, oh, he's going to end up in TNA. So that wasn't really a shocker.
No. This, like, is kind of,
it could have,
like,
been a fresh take and be like, my sources say that Ryback will end up in TNA. I'm saying it right now. My sources tell me, Joel. It's a pretty safe bet that will happen, then you look like a genius.
Yeah.
So, there you have it. Shall we move on?
Yes, please.
Well, The Miz is fucking awesome.
Yeah?
Great segment this week between The Miz and Dolph Ziggler. Maybe the stealer of the week for a segment, other than maybe John Cena talking smack. But great energy between the two of them. Career versus title. I'm super excited for this match. Maybe more than anything going on. Because those two had a really surprising match at Backlash, Joel. We were like, you and I were like, oh, damn, this match is actually really good. And I think these two are going to kill each other, and it could be Dolph Ziggler's last match for the company.
Yeah, I think he's on his way out.
Well, the rumor is that they want him to go to The Office.
Oh, when?
Yeah.
Really?
Yes, because he would go work in The Office because he has all the stuff for the comedy stuff on the outside.
Oh.
He's making a lot of headways with that stand-up stuff, apparently.
Oh, good for him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
How do you think that match ends up?
I think Ziggler has to win. Not Ziggler, but I think The Miz is going to win.
Yeah.
That's kind of it. The Miz is going to keep his run for a little bit until a... I don't know when he loses it.
Yeah, I don't know either. I don't know who the next guy would be. I did love all the stuff that he did in Cleveland with the promo about there was a giant crowd for when the cows went, where's my parade. I like that we got to see the return of the Miz's dad.
Yeah.
Always a joy. And I like when he put the picture of himself up against the LeBron one.
Oh, yeah.
That was pretty great as well.
There's a lot of things that are just like, I tip my hat to you. You're very, like, there's just something, there's something about The Miz that just works so well. I'm like...
It's so crazy, because if you were to tell me this time last year that The Miz would be one of our favorite guys, and arguably our most improved wrestler, I'd be like, no, The Miz is done. And it just shows that even, like, you look at where Bray Wyatt is right now, anybody can dig out of the ditch.
Yeah.
Because look how far Miz was down.
Oh, yeah. And Miz was far down. And now, grown. And now he's one of our top guys. It's always a joy to see The Miz, and it just continues to get better and better with The Miz. And I can't wait to see what he does next. Like, it's a fun storyline. And, I mean, he has the perfect foil in Daniel Bryan.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big thing. That's still going on.
And that's what I think if... With the title, I think if you're going to have Bryan continue to wrestle, like we talked about, you're building up to that.
Yeah. Or that or the Bear.
Well, the Bear is going to be released, apparently.
Yeah. Documentary, it's going to come out, and it'll change how we view everything.
He's a little too obsessed with his Bear thing. It's getting a little weird.
Daniel Bryan likes his Bear.
Apparently. John Cena, really good week for him. Got his heat back. That Dean Ambrose win kind of means nothing now. Apparently Vince is done with Dean Ambrose, by the way, after the Austin podcast.
Ooh, boy. Yeah, I'm not sure.
But, I mean, they still beat John Cena clean, so I don't know how done he is. But what did you think about the promo Cena cut and talking smack?
I thought it was a good promo. Like, John, as much as we're going to sit there and be like, we're going to boo and hate on John Cena... I love John Cena. Like, this is a guy that has been there from day one. Well, not day one, but have been there and fought and proved, continuously elevated himself, and now he's elevating others around him. I can't hate on Cena. I will boo him when we see him live in Toronto.
But that's what you do. That's what you do. You chant, John Cena sucks. But over these past 2 years, Cena has gained my ultimate respect.
Oh, he is...
One of the top 10 greatest wrestlers as performer and the whole package of all time. And you cannot deny it with what he's done.
He just constantly finds a way.
The man got a good match out of the Great Khali, Joel.
Yep.
That's not an easy task to do.
No, it isn't. And I mean, I will always have good things to say about Big Match John. Now moving forward, he has a spotty history at times, but mm-hmm. I can sit there and look back at his stuff, and I enjoy a lot of Cena stuff the more I think about it, and that makes it just that much more enjoyable.
I mean, also with all the Make-A-Wish stuff, that also helps, but I really liked his promo, and I liked what he said, too, where him and Miz have the same work ethic in a way, but yeah. He talked about, like, Dean Ambrose Day is done. I gotta go on a plane and start promoting Total Bellas now. That's what I'm doing the rest of the week. Dean Ambrose gets to go home, take a break, and then he gets to do some house shows, and that's fantastic. But I gotta get done, get on a plane, and go. I would've liked if he would've thrown Bryan in there, because Bryan had to do that promotion as well.
Yeah.
But, whatever. He was in the heat of the moment, so it's fine. But, yeah, I mean, and Cena did that this week. He did that, and, you know, maybe he's getting a little criticism for this part-time thing, which I think isn't really fair if you're going to criticize people for the part-time thing, especially Dean Ambrose. If anyone has any right to criticize part-time wrestlers, it's Chris Jericho.
Yeah.
Because he's the one that's never done it.
Yeah. he's always, when he's in, and boy oh boy, I just, the more I see Chris Jericho, the more I'm like, don't leave, don't leave.
Well, we may have him till WrestleMania now. It depends. Fozzy's going to record a new record pretty soon here, but until then, you just got to enjoy the gift of Jericho as much as you can.
Drink it in, man. Drink it in.
What else happened on SmackDown?
SmackDown. AJ Styles.
He was great.
Can we just talk about how amazing AJ is?
Okay, well, with the good, we have to talk about the bad. And let's talk about the Randy Orton and Bray Wyatt segment.
But wasn't that awesome, Josh? Walking around looking for cardboard cutouts? Wasn't that the grandest thing you've ever seen?
With no eyes. That's WWE's attempt of horror, I guess.
The eyes are gone. The eyes are gone.
Yeah, that was bad.
Yeah.
And then, so, the end, I want to get your opinion on this because this has been driving a lot of people crazy. Was that done on purpose, or was that a producing error?
I think that was done on purpose.
When he morphed back into Bray?
Maybe, I don't know. This is the WWE that had Josh Matthews become possessed by The Undertaker. Just keep that in mind.
That's true. That is true.
Like, there are points where I'm like, I think this was a mistake, but I don't know.
He never re-edited it for Hulu, so I guess not.
It was the way things were meant to be.
So, oh no, though, another small... they weeded out some people in SmackDown this week. There was no Baron Corbin. There was no Apollo. So some of those people haven't been showing. And really, SmackDown didn't miss a beat with all those. And also, before we go on, I gotta say, we're talking about Most Improved Wrestler. Alexa Bliss has 3 months, but she's making a push, man. She's making a late run for it.
Oh yeah, she's been really, really good in her role, and it's a good thing to see when someone can kind of rise up and grow and morph into this character and this wrestler that you can generally hate. She does a really good job where you don't like her, and it's the perfect role for her.
Same with Carmella, and I think it's very interesting to see the women on Raw compared to the women on SmackDown. I would say the women on SmackDown are doing better than the women on Raw, which if you would have told me the roster with Bayley, Charlotte, and Sasha was kind of trailing a roster that had Carmella and Naomi and Alexa Bliss, I would have thought you were crazy.
Yeah.
But every woman on SmackDown has a purpose, and you root for all of those purposes. You root for Naomi with her stuff, the Nikki and the Carmella feud. Well, in ring, it may lack a little substance. It's still, you want to see Nikki beat Carmella up. Carmella has gotten under your skin, and you want to see Nikki get her comeuppance.
Yeah.
And you look forward to Carmella doing the entrance, to the point, like, Eva Marie was such a big part of this, and her suspension is up. I mean, we already didn't really care if she came back, but the gimmick was kind of getting over, and we're kind of interested in it. But, Joel, if Eva doesn't come back, who cares?
Yeah.
In more ways than one. But she was kind of a pig. Like, people were like, oh, I really want to see Eva Marie. And now you're just like, no, this women's division is really working out really well right now that we don't even need it. Same with the tag division. Tag division's working out really well. You really want to kind of hate the Usos.
Yeah.
But like them, too. Like, I really like the ring gear this week. It was a little Briscoe-y.
Yeah.
But still, they're super cool. And then you go to Raw, and I kind of forgot anything that happened.
Yeah.
I think there was a cage match?
No. There was the highlight reel, and Seth hurt his ribs, and...
Oh, right, the cage match was last week.
Yeah.
This was the throwaway show because of the debate. The lowest rated Monday Night Raw of all time.
Yeah, it was not great.
But, I mean, in fairness, you're going against the debate, which is 86 million.
Yeah. And I mean, if you're going to compare... Kevin Owens and Chris Jericho or Donald Trump, I think Donald Trump's the bigger heel in all of this, so...
Yeah, he's the biggest heel of all time, yeah. So it's kind of hard to go against the biggest heel of all time.
Yeah, because people want to see him lose.
Yeah, people want to see him lose, or, I mean, to respect to Republicans, some people want to see him win, but if not, you just want to hear what he has to say.
Yeah, there is very interesting, whenever he opens his mouth, you're kind of like, what's he going to say now? WWE kind of suffers from that Oh, okay. They said that thing. Oh, well.
It kind of felt like a throwaway Raw because they knew they were going to get squashed. And they were promoting everything for LA next week, right? The TJ Perkins match, Sasha match, Ashton Kutcher and Danny Masterson. They kind of pushed everything for that LA show. Be like, hey, yeah, the show is kind of stupid, so watch us next week in LA.
Yeah, it'll be lots of fun.
The Cruiserweight division, week two. Wow, that this week was kind of bad. Respect the guys in the ring work, but the fans did not take to it.
No, they did not.
CM Punk chants, Macho Man chants, and the other one.
What was the other one, Josh?
Chris Benoit.
I swore you just said crispy bacon, but I know what you said, so...
Yeah.
Poor Cruiserweights. You get those type of chants, you're just kind of like, what more can I do?
In fairness, it's hard for a mainstream audience. As much as we like the CWC, you're not going to know who Tony Nese is. We see Tony Nese like, oh my god, this guy's awesome. Or Drew Gulak, right?
Oh yeah.
You're like, oh, I love Drew Gulak, he's awesome. But nobody knows who Drew Gulak. People barely in the mainstream barely know who TJP is.
Yeah.
And they're probably not understanding why he has a video game entrance.
Yeah. I think eventually it'll click, I hope.
Everybody, the women, people didn't know who a lot of the women were at first, right? They didn't know who Sasha Banks or Becky Lynch or Charlotte, et cetera, et cetera. Even Bayley, people didn't really know who that was. And they're like, oh, but I think people had kind of heard of them. A lot of people hadn't heard of a lot of these characters, right?
Yeah.
So, it's going to take some time. The more you show TJP, the more you'll get people behind him. But it's definitely going to be a growing period. And you can show the video packages in the world. There's just something for the mainstream. It's not like you go to an indie show and you're like, okay, I'll watch this guy. I don't know who this guy is, but maybe he's good. And you start to, and you're like, oh, okay, well, that guy impressed me. In WWE, it seems like if you don't know someone, you're just now assuming that's a jobber.
Yeah. That's kind of been ingrained in there in wrestling, casual wrestling fans' heads, but now I think that I think they're going to build them back up. I'm not too worked up over it.
It's going to take. Dwayne Team, I think, had the best comparison so far. It was like ECW One Night Stand, and then they went on Sci-Fi.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's at that bad of a level yet. There's no zombies coming out getting hit on the head by the Sandman.
Not yet?
Not yet. Soon, maybe. But, you know, it's really hard to get talent over when people don't know it. I think being in L.A., you have more internet fans there, and Pro Wrestling Guerrilla is based out of L.A., and TJP has some experience there.
Yeah.
So I think you'll get some of those people, and more people will have an idea who TJP is. And you're facing Brian Kendrick, who people already know who Brian Kendrick is.
Oh, yeah.
So I think this LA crowd will be the best crowd they've had. It's hard to match the Full Sail crowd. You just can't match it, right? Like, when we go to Toronto for Survivor Series 3 nights in a row, you're going to have that kind of crowd.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It's the Toronto, Canada crowd. They're always great anyways. So you're going to have that great crowd for 3 nights in a row, so that's going to be great. And L.A. may be one of those as well. L.A. is not always a super great crowd, but I think it should be okay with how they promoted everything ahead of time. Yeah. Do you think in either one of the promoted matches, the Cruiserweight or the women, we will have a title change?
I don't think so. I don't think the Cruiserweight will have a title change. Women, maybe, but I have my doubts.
Where I think that Dana will interfere and it will lead to the first ever woman Hell in a Cell.
Yeah.
That's what my thinking is. And then maybe Sasha wins there.
Yeah. That's definitely a very real possibility.
And then I think maybe we'll go on to Dana and Charlotte finally. Which leaves Nia Jax and Sasha.
Yay.
Because I'm thinking this next pay-per-view... we're going to get Charlotte and Sasha, and we're going to get Nia Jax and Bayley.
Yeah.
And Nia Jax will beat up on Bayley. and Sasha will come and help her out.
Yeah.
And we'll slowly kind of do the building of Bailey and Sasha. It'll lead to I'm always helping you fight your battles kind of storyline.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I definitely think you're right. I mean, I can't see any way it doesn't kind of go that way. Ultimately, they're leading towards Bailey versus Bailey versus Sasha, and there's gonna be a few little pit stops. Charlotte's been fantastic. Like
been great. She's been really good this year. I've been overly impressed with Charlotte inside the ring and outside the ring, promos and everything. And I think the build-up to when her and Dana finally go at each other will be fantastic. By the way, you know Dana Brooke is dating Dolph Ziggler?
I did not know that.
Yeah, I found out this week. So I wonder how that plays into things.
That might play a small role in things.
So what else from Raw? We're going to talk about our good friend Mr. Roman Reigns.
Oh, good old Roman. You're my favorite.
Who goes next in this then for the title? Do we do Roots Up one more time? Because it seemed like on the show it was kind of lead to do Rusev again in the most one-sided fight of all time. The good news is Dave Meltzer has confirmed that Roman is not planning to be near the title for a while.
Yay.
The main title. So he can just kind of do his own thing with the USA title.
Yeah, and that's fine. That's a nice little title to start him off on. Get him build him up a bit, because that was the biggest thing. I think that's where everyone's complaint came from, was he was getting pushed too far, too quick, too soon. But I think if you put the U.S. title on him and you build him up... The one thing I always liked about Cena was his build. He went to the U.S. title. He did it back and forth. He didn't just jump right into being the guy. It took a little bit of time. So now I want the same thing with Roman, is that build. I always liked watching that, winning the tag team titles or winning the Intercontinental title and then building your way up to that next step, because that's how I always saw the Intercontinental title led you to the next level. If you were meant to go to that next level. Now, Roman's kind of at that point with the U.S. title where he's at that point where, okay, you're here, let's see where you go, and we'll see how things go.
It seems like the crowd doesn't know what to do with him either, because they booed him when he came out, and then there was a hope spot with Rusev, and like they started cheering him, and then they're like, oh wait, we're not supposed to cheer this guy. So it kind of just seems like you were saying, like, you know, you're a fan of John Cena, but when Cena comes out, you're going to chant John Cena sucks. And that is just kind of a reaction of what you do.
Yeah. And now it's going to be, I think it's going to be something similar with Roman. Where now it's kind of like, we want to boo him, but hopefully he slowly starts to turn us.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Or he turns, one of the two.
Yeah.
But Seth Rollins and his ribs, Josh. Ouch.
They're not great.
Hopefully it's nothing too serious.
Karma came back on Seth Rollins.
Yeah. Seth Rollins injured Seth Rollins.
Finally happened. Yeah. Brett was right. He hurt himself.
I was going to say, is Brett going to suddenly rip Rollins for injuring Rollins? Is this what we're going to... Is this what's going to happen?
We can only hope. We can only hope.
But, yeah, it's a shame. But I definitely think he'll be back on his feet soon.
Selfishly, the house show that we're going to go to, we're not going to get him. So I'm hoping our Survivor Series trip we will see him, which I'm thinking we should be okay.
Yeah. Unless he does anything else crazy...
Yeah, do we know how he did it? Was it on the dive?
It was on the gut buster.
What gut buster?
When KO did the gut buster midair and landed, and yeah, not pretty.
No.
Not great.
I still think he's going to fight at Hell in the Cell, though, right?
Yeah, I think he's going to fight at Hell in the Cell.
But they'll do the triple threat and let Jericho do more of the work, I guess?
Yeah, that could be likely the way they go. What was I going to say? There's a few other things. One of the biggest things that I think we should talk about, now that we've moved past the biggest elephant in the room, the Dusty Rhodes Classic has a tag team that's going to kick your head in.
Yeah, Kota Ibushi and Hideo Itami are a tag team, and it caught a lot of people off guard, but according to Dave Meltzer and Court Bauer, Kota will be wrestling part-time for the company.
I believe that. Like this,
is an interesting thing that WWE's never had. I don't think you'll see him on the main roster, but NXT, sure.
Yeah, and he can come in and do little things like this for you. So now, over under Josh, we see him in Toronto.
I personally am saying no because of the Austin Aries factor.
Yeah. Crush that dream, Aries. I'll boo you out of the building.
Unless they're going to do both. I mean, we could very well just see Kota do his own feud. Maybe we see Kota versus Bobby Roode, for example, or Kota versus Samoa Joe.
Oh, Josh.
Because my personal thinking is this. I still think that the Kenta and Aries feud is happening. So you do Hideo and Aries. I fluctuate between Hideo and Kenta. Deal with it. And the way that the last taping goes with NXT, it seems like the Nakamura Joe feud, I think, is going to be happening before TakeOver.
Yeah.
The way it was building. So maybe Nakamura and Joe have their feud. Joe loses, and then he takes it on Kota, and we get Joe and Kota, and that's his last big match.
Yeah.
Which would leave Bobby Roode open for Nakamura. So your five big matches could be whoever's left in the Dusty Rhodes Classic, which I think will be Eric Young's group and somebody else. And I think you're going to have a lot of good things. I think you're going to have that tag match. I think actually the thing with the tag classic is going to be is DIY versus the Revival, and the tag titles and the trophy will be on the line.
Yeah.
And I think you'll get Aries and Hideo. I think you'll get Ember Moon and Asuka. I think you're going to get, speculating, you're going to get Joe and Kota, Nakamura, Bobby Roode.
Yeah.
And Cedric versus Almost.
Almost. Yeah, I think that's very real possibility. This Kota thing is very interesting. He likes to flirt.
Yeah.
With WWE and always come close, but then walk away. Come close.
I would be surprised if they're using him like this and he doesn't do TakeOver.
Yeah.
But we'll see. As someone that's personally going there, I'm not trying to get my hopes up too high.
No. And smart.
But him versus Samoa Joe wouldn't be terrible.
You'd have a hard time with that, wouldn't you?
I would. I'd hate it.
Yeah, and you, nothing would. You wouldn't.
What do you think about this whole thing though, with Kota being there?
I think it's smart. It's very smart business.
Yeah.
You have him pop up every once in a while, and you have him do some.
You mean they're Brock Lesnar, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Comes in, destroys people, and then leaves and goes wrestles mops and clowns.
Hey, there you go. I want to go back to about another contract. So Cesaro.
Yes.
Apparently his contract is running out, but I don't know if this is legit or his Raw contract, because there was flirting on Twitter between him and Daniel Bryan about Bryan saying he wants Cesaro to come here, and Cesaro saying, I believe my contract runs out soon. So I don't know if his actual contract is running up, because there's been reports that, yes, his actual contract is running up. But then this back and forth between Brian and Cesaro started on Twitter this week.
Yeah.
If his contract is running up the way that he's been treated and what he could do in the independents, I'd find it hard-pressed that Cesaro would resign.
Ooh, yeah. He's going to be gone. And it'll be a shame, but he can go to other promotions. He could probably go to New Japan.
Yeah. He'll be the hottest free agent out of all the free agents we've had this year. Sandow, Cody, the Ryback. It's not even close how big he will be.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be huge.
And he can be Claudio Castagnoli again, which is a known name in the independents.
Yeah. And
keep an eye on that.
Yeah. There's a lot of things to kind of keep your eye out for.
What did you think about them coming together as a tag? I'm assuming they're going to beat the New Day in December after they've beat the Demolition record.
Yeah, that's where things are going. But I have heard their tag team is just kind of a negotiation thing right now, the Sheamus and Cesaro. See where things go, and if everything goes well, then Cesaro gets heated back up again, and he's off and running. If not, then Sheamus boots him and then kicks him out.
So this kind of really is the last stand for Cesaro, then.
Yeah.
What else we got, Joel?
Besides me dying, holy crap, I'm dying. Wow. TNA's been the biggest thing. Some contracts. Wrestling, meh. But I think that we're going to see some more. This has been a really good year for pro wrestling. I think we've got a great card in No Mercy. I think Hell in the Cell is probably going to shape up pretty well. So everything seems to be going pretty good. So.
Yeah, it's an exciting time. I mean, the Raw rating is down, but again, like we said, it's not great that the rating's down. I think also 3 hours is a big part of that, because that first half an hour did actually pretty decent.
Yeah.
Which I thought was, despite having Roman and Russo, which I wasn't too excited for, I thought whenever you just start with a match, you kind of get people's right away. Yeah. I thought that was smart. Especially going, whether they like him or not, with someone that people know in Roman Reigns.
Yeah. And that's the thing, you gotta go with, sometimes, as we've learned, sometimes there's value in Roman.
Mm-hmm. So. Is there any other rumors or anything you've heard, Joel?
Nothing really. Everything's kinda at a standstill. We've heard talks about contracts here and there for people that may be free, might not be free. Kenny Omega still has to wait for his Golden Lover, but eventually, maybe one day they'll cross paths again. But as of right now, we're just waiting for the sell of that horrid company.
So, I guess we've never done this before, but since it's happening, let's make our picks for TNA Bound for Glory that we know nothing about. Are you ready? There's 6 matches, Joel.
Oh.
So, 10-man Bound for Gold gauntlet match. Tyrus, which is the former Funkadactyl, versus Robbie E, versus Jesse Gutierrez, who's better known from Big Brother, versus Baron Dax, who I've never heard of. Have you?
No.
Versus Grotto, who I've never heard of. Versus Manbali Shira, never heard of. Versus Rockstar Spud, who I do know, and I'm actually quite fond of.
Yeah.
Versus Braxton Sutter, who I've never heard of. Versus Eli Drake, who actually has quite a bit of buzz going around him right now.
Hmm.
Versus TBA. The TBA, I'm assuming, is Cody Rhodes.
Yeah.
And this is the get a championship opportunity, so are we going to say Cody comes in and wins that?
Yeah, that'd be my guess.
Cool. Maria, the TNA Knockout Champion, versus the newest Hall of Fame and the prestigious, elegant TNA Hall of Fame, Gail Kim.
I'll pick Gail Kim for a good laugh.
Because she's going to the Hall of Fame, right?
Yeah.
We have a singles match between Mike Bennett and Moose.
Mike Bennett.
A singles match for the inaugural TNA Impact Grand Championship, Aaron Rex versus Eddie Edwards.
Aaron Rex.
Yeah. The Great War, Joel. Decay versus the Broken Hardys.
The Broken Hardys.
And they finally get the tag titles.
Yeah.
And then, no holds barred, TNA World Heavyweight Championship, EC3 versus the champion, Bobby Lashley.
EC3.
Yeah, he's kind of... Do you know Bobby Lashley's 40 years old, Joel?
Holy crap.
Yeah.
Wow.
And EC3 is 33. If Bobby Lashley wants to get back to WWE, he better do it soon.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, I have EC3 winning as well. It seems like he's kind of built that he's worked his way back.
Yeah. And you want to know how much I care, Josh?
Not at all.
Nope.
You are absolute, yeah, none. Squat. Banana.
There's three things that I will be interested to see the next day on video. What Cody Rhodes does, the Great War, and who buys the company.
Yeah. And there's a fourth one. What if Cody wins the title shot and Hunter comes out?
That would be great, but that would just be mean.
Sorry, Cody. Surprise! We have your wife under contract now.
So, again, on Sunday night, Joel and I will do probably a short 10 to 20 minute podcast. We're not exactly going to recap Bound for Glory, but we will talk about
what happened to our in-depth coverage, covering every move, every little thing that Josh Matthews says on air. What, Josh, come on.
We'll do a review and give you an update on who had bought the company and what it means, and that's it.
That's pretty much where my caring will stop.
Also, then let's go to the somber side of things, like you brought up earlier. Unfortunately, Jamie Noble, he cut off somebody driving home to his trailer, and that guy followed him on his way home to his West Virginia trailer park and stabbed Jamie Noble twice.
Yeah, not good. Not good.
So as we record this tonight, hopefully Jamie Noble, he's in critical condition right now. We wish him the best and speediest of recoveries right now. Cause
let's do one last.
We're both huge fans of him.
J&J Security.
Mm-hmm. The stuff with Nitti I always love too, and he's a former Ring of Honor champion.
Yeah.
Something that AJ Styles can even do.
Yeah, well, I guess winning the NWA, TNA, IWGP, and WWE Championship is small. It's a small thing.
Exactly.
So.
And I think that's about it, Joel.
Yeah, I feel pretty good.
So we're going to put this podcast, we're going to stop recording, and then about 1 o'clock tonight, WWE's going to have bought TNA, and we're going to be like, well, shit.
Yep. I want to read this comment. Well, it depends on if I can read the comment or not. John Cena was asked if WWE should bring CM Punk back, and Cena said, If I know one thing about my boss, Vince McMahon, he always does what's good for business. Cena states in the video, if it's good for business, it'll work out. The name in question doesn't matter about that. If it's good for business, it'll work out. So basically, he said that if it's good for everyone, then it'll happen. So
that's the most PC John Cena answer of all time.
That PC John Cena for the win. What happened if you really took a turn and went anti-PC?
That would be interesting. But maybe CM Punk shows up and is the buyer for TNA. Wouldn't that be a twist?
Could you? I don't know what I'd do. I'd tune into TNA. That would instantly have my attention.
Yeah.
And all
that's
it is
one way to get them.
That would be huge. The ratings for TNA would go through the roof. Because it'd be like,
that would definitely jump it up, man, for sure.
But that won't happen.
We're going to go to that note. So, for everything on the latest on wrestling news, make sure you check us out on our Facebook page on One Fall Podcast. Same with Instagram, One Fall Pod, Fresh Take 42, Sick Boy YYC, Chill Johnson TV, Chawa 31. And until next time, cheers!
When Brazzers say they have a better storyline than you do, your company's not in a good state.
Cross the line. Enjoy the ride.